Go for it.
Oh, yeah. 5 pre-rolls today. Thank you to Black Buffalo. Are you ready to keep the ritual but ditch the tobacco? If so, when you're 21, it's time to get Black Buffalo. It's everything you love about dipping, nothing you don't. Head to blackbuffalo.com and use the promo code JRVP at checkout for 25% off your first order. That's the best offer you'll find, but you have to use our code JRVP for 25% off your first order. One last time, that's promo code JRVP for 25% off your first order. Freshly's back. Revamp your routine this fall with Freshly and save now. For a limited time, order today. Get $140 off your first 5 orders at freshly.com/JRVP. That's freshly.com/JRVP for $140 off your first 5 orders. Freshly.com/JRVP for $140 off your first 5 orders. Athletic Greens, you know what's keeping us healthy, and it's keeping us feeling great. They're going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Visit athleticgreens.com/JRVP for a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. That's athleticgreens.com/JRVP. With the holidays around the corner, it's coming, Anthony. You might be wondering how you're going to be able to make ends meet and shower your loved ones with gifts. Dave can help you out in a pinch so you can enjoy the holiday season. Download the Dave app from the App Store right now or go to dave.com. Sign up for extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Once you're done with that, then you can go discover hiring joy with ZipRecruiter. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to the exclusive address to try ZipRecruiter for free, ZipRecruiter.com/JRVP. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/JRVP. ZipRecruiter.com/JRVP. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. That maybe is the hardest part of the show. Just like looking at your withering gaze as I knock it out of the park for all of our sponsors.
You've gotten so good at this.
I really haven't. I need to get better. But I'm excited about this show. We've got free barbecue, a blind pedophile who does not look like me, and the Tulane Green Wave, all coming up on episode 183 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP. Junior Vice President. It's Christmas, Theo. It's the time of miracles. So be of good cheer and call me when you hit the last lock.
Volume.
Volume's up. I've sounded weird this whole time, too. Did anyone else notice that?
No.
I was going to send an email. Am I plugged in the wrong way or something? Fuck, we always got to test this shit.
We're leaving this in.
We are not leaving this in.
We're leaving it in. I don't know why we don't check the music before. I think he's
we
got
do
it.
We do sometimes. I was hearing it faintly.
Hit it again. We're leaving it.
We are not leaving that.
We're leaving it.
What is the point?
The point is we don't have to do 5 pre-rolls again.
Well, you can just have... We can have Aaron edit it. Aaron is...
People like this.
You like it.
I do.
After a certain point, people don't like it.
Okay, you're anti. I'm pro. Aaron, anti or pro?
I'm pro.
Well, of course, because he has less work to do now.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. We leave it in the video. If people want to go check out Anthony's YouTube channel, subscribe and watch us on video, and you can get my total F up. But if not, we're editing out like a minute of dead air. But although I don't want to edit out you dancing as the song starts to play,
you can't
like
spit
a
anyway,
6-year old.
Yeah, I dance like a 6-year old, but it was the home screen or whatever, the title page, if you will, when I danced. So no dancing. And in 90 minutes, when we're done with this podcast, you will not remember that you wanted to redo the beginning. And we are not. Ask me what my quote's from.
What's your quote from?
Aaron, do you know what my quote's from?
oh yeah, it's Die Hard.
Yes, yes. I knew Aaron would know it and Greg would not. I think most guys would know the Die Hard reference. Most guys could quote Die Hard front to back.
You're making it a gender thing?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. I think guys probably watch Die Hard more than most girls do. I think a lot of girls would get it as well if they had dads or abusive boyfriends. But Theo, that is a line spoken by, what's the guy's name?
Hans Gruber.
Yeah, Hans Gruber, but what was the actor's name?
Alan Rickman,
yes. Alan Rickman, the great Alan Rickman. Amazing bad guy in Die Hard. Amazing bad guy in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, with Kevin Costner and Christian Slater and Morgan Freeman. And
Morgan Freeman's in that.
Isn't Morgan Freeman in Prince of Tides? No, Prince of Thieves.
Robin Hood?
Yes. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. I saw it when I was in sixth grade it came out in theaters, and that was like the date movie.
It was sixth grade. We sang it in the sixth grade chorus.
Everything I Do It For You?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
How many people were in that chorus?
A lot, like over 50.
So it's 50 kids singing Everything I Do It For You?
Yeah, because you had the option to not take, you had to take band or chorus. Uh-huh. And if you were terrible at music or playing instruments like I was.
Then you sang Bryan Adams songs?
Then you just stood in the back of chorus and kind of sang very quietly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You didn't have a solo? But yeah, Alan Rickman says that to the tech guy in the heist crew, and that guy died. And the quarterback is toast, was his most famous line in Die Hard. Love that guy.
Have you rewatched it already in the holiday season?
Die Hard?
Yeah.
No, I haven't rewatched it in a while. I used to just see it when it was on TV or when it was on like cable, but the guy died. Theo, who he's talking to, died. Alan Rickman already dead. So I thought, let's combine.
He died in real life?
Yes.
Oh, damn. He's also in Top Gun.
Could you imagine if I was like, hey, the guy died in the movie, and I thought I'd just give him a shout out?
I thought it made sense because it's like we're turning the page, Thanksgiving's over, mm-hmm. and we're moving on to the Christmas season, and that's like Die Hard season for a lot of people. And I was figuring, like, you and all your bros, like, you know, bro America all started watching Die Hard, and little old Greg doesn't know the references, apparently.
No, I thought it's the holidays, the guy's dead, it's the perfect storm. I'm sorry to break the news to you, Aaron. I know you guys were close.
Yeah. He's Sundown in Top Gun.
Oh, yes, that's right. The guy, you never know his name. I think he's the guy who, when Tom Cruise sings You Lost That Lovin' Feelin' to Kelly McGillis, when he kind of stops, he does the first verse, and then that guy, Theo, takes the mic and starts singing. Like the next verse picks it up,
yeah.
And everyone ignores him.
Yep.
Everyone's like, no, we're done with this.
Yep.
Tom Cruise did it. We like that. You can just fade out while he talks to Kelly McGillis in the bathroom.
Yeah. Clarence Gilliard Jr.
Now you're all caught up.
Yeah, you want to go over like step by step any more 80s movie scenes?
Whenever I have to explain a quote to you that Aaron gets immediately, I should be doing the podcast with Aaron.
I saw Die Hard, and I saw it probably a second or third time. In high school, mm-hmm. and it's been a while. So mm-hmm. how are you going to remember it that long?
Aaron, how old are you?
I just turned 40.
See, it would be so cool if Aaron and I had met in college. You know, maybe I would be a senior, you'd be a freshman. But think about how good this podcast would be. Think about how in-depth into Die Hard we could go and the sequels if it was me and you, Aaron.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
A side project?
Sure. Jeselnik with a Vengeance.
Aaron, what's your last name?
Brungart.
Jeselnik and Brungard Vanity Project?
JPVP.
Junior.
Brungard.
Junior, Vice President.
Yeah, we'll talk about it after the show. How was your Thanksgiving, Greg?
It was great. Had it at home. Nothing too crazy. Just the four of us. Played a little tennis that day. That's become a tradition. Mm-hmm. They just leave the courts. You usually have to reserve them. They're just like wide open and absolutely no one's there.
With the pickleball pandemic?
It does. I don't know. Everyone's just out for Thanksgiving, I guess. And so they're just wide open and the kids are, get out a little bit during the day. Otherwise, watch some football. It was good. It was the first time I didn't work on Thanksgiving in, I don't know how long, maybe 15 years.
Why didn't you have to work?
Just because of our schedule, we had a show the next morning now. We didn't have to do it on Thanksgiving itself. So, although I had to talk about those games, be ready. But it was great. How was yours?
It must be nice to let you get to be with your family. Your co-hosts get to be with their families. Mine was good. Since my tour ended 2 weekends ago, we had the week off. I finished out the 20th anniversary tour in style in Ontario at the Improv there. Some of the best shows of the weekend. Loved Ontario. It was not one of the biggest clubs I did, but it was just like a small roof, like a low ceiling, small roof, a low ceiling, and big laughs, and just had a great, great time. Glad it's over. But it's like I've got to kind of downshift after a tour ends, where I need like a week.
But you did that after Thanksgiving?
No, before.
Okay.
Because if we had last week's podcast, then I would have talked about this. But as soon as it was done, I was like, all right, now let's like kind of like purge this from my system. And I'm not drinking, so I can't just go off and go nuts. But I've been pretty lazy and enjoying myself, going to nice dinners and trying to like treat myself. I was like, I bought a watch. I bought like an expensive watch as like a 20th anniversary present to myself and then returned it immediately. Was like, I don't like this watch. It's a nice watch, but I didn't love it. It wasn't worth the money.
Are you into watches?
No, I got myself a Rolex for my 40th birthday. And then I saw this watch. I was looking at other stuff and saw this watch. I was like, oh, that's a really cool watch. You know what? That I can justify that as a 20th anniversary present. And then was like, I don't want this. I don't like it. So return it. So now I'm just like,
I don't think I'd become a watch guy no matter how much money I have. I don't think I'd ever become a car guy. Not that I wouldn't buy like a fairly nice car, but I would never get deep into it. It's not in me.
I'm certainly not deep into it, but once I got my Rolex, like I never wore a watch before that, but I got one and I like wearing it on stage. I like wearing it sometimes, but when you have a nice watch and you're just wearing that same one all the time, then it's like, well, two would be nice. Switch it up a little bit. Like I couldn't imagine having like 100 like some people do, and I don't research watches, but if I see one I like, I'm like, oh, that's cool. I can afford that. But yeah, I've returned that. So I'm just like looking for things to do to celebrate and burn off some of this energy before I get creative again. The month of December, I've got to write jokes. I've got to do sets again. I'm doing a set tonight to try out some new stuff I've written since the end of the tour. But I'm just kind of excited to be done. And I can't be too unhealthy, even though I did get sick. I got sick maybe five or six days ago. Just wasn't feeling well. And I took a COVID test. I was like, do I have COVID? No, I do not. What is this? Liz starts to feel the same thing. It's like a little scratchy throat, like a little kind of a headache. What's going on? And then Liz gets real bad. I'm totally okay. I'm 100%. Liz is bad. And I realized this last night, maybe the night before, that I had gotten a flu shot before I went on tour. I always do when I'm on the road or I'm working a lot. I'm like, I can't afford to get sick. And I said, Liz, get a flu shot. You're going to be on the road with me. Get a flu shot. And she's like, did not do it. And that's why she is in bed looking like shit, miserable, and I am here looking like a fucking Roman god.
I mean, don't sound so victorious here.
Like, I am. I'm the responsible. I'm the healthy, responsible one, and I think it's hilarious because she's the healthy one. She's the responsible one, but not in this case.
I know, but why? You don't want to, like, you said, like, she's there looking like shit as if, like, you enjoyed that she was looking like shit. Don't you want her to look nice, feel nice? You know, she's your lady. Don't you feel bad?
I mean, listen,
want this W. You're just like, eat this W, Liz.
Yeah, I can do both. And I can still do whatever I want to her physically while she's sick. You know what I mean? There's no off switch on this. So I'm trying not to say I told you so. Does she know that?
Okay, she's aware.
Yeah, I mean, I tell her afterwards. But yeah, she's like so mad. She's like, I can't believe I didn't get the flu shot. She's like, I'll never not get the flu shot again. She didn't understand how bad this flu was, but it is brutal. I feel, and I've been a good nurse. Usually when I get sick, I'm like, someone take care of me. I don't care who it is. But I'm like, anything she asks for, anything she needs, I'm there. I don't bitch about it. I just get up and I do it. I go run the errand. I go get her whatever. I get her tea. I get her medicine.
I mean, you're not working right now, really, right?
No.
I mean, so what else do you got to do? But you're not. Are you feeding her?
Yeah.
I mean, you were talking about before the show that you've barely eaten in the last 3 or 4 days because your source of food, Liz, is no longer operable. Well,
she's not cooking for me, which is fine. But if I am like, let me order food from somewhere, she doesn't want anything. She like literally can't eat. So I'm like, let me try to figure. I've gotten her a lot of soup deliveries, things like that. And she's like, I take a couple bites and I feel sick. So I'm like trying to make her drink a Gatorade, stuff like that. But I've been a good nurse.
Wow.
But I'm enjoying very it. Proud of yourself. I'm enjoying that I got the flu shot. She was not responsible and now she's suffering.
I got the flu shot too. So in some way I have a win over Liz as well.
Mm-hmm. But if you've gotten sick at the same time, you know, it's a little different.
The flu was going around my kid's school, but we're fine. Are you going all like Phantom Thread on her? You know, are you Alma taking care of old Daniel Day-Lewis there?
I can't wait.
Maybe mixing in some crazy mushrooms.
I can't wait until she's not sick anymore. I can't wait because then I can like, I can do things again. Like she sleeps a lot. I'm like, I'm not making noise because I want her to rest up. But I feel bad for her. Like when I was a kid, the only way, like my dad would get sick once a year. He'd get the flu once a year and he would be laid out for almost a week. And my dad was such a workaholic, still is, that if he was not working, you knew he was like, he was sick as hell. And the only time I could take off school, I would wait until my dad got well enough that he'd go back to work. And the day he went back to work, I'd be like, I think I have what dad had. And my dad would be like, oh, take the week off. It's so awful what I had. Like, take the week, that I feel like that kind of sympathy. But I'm glad that I dodged it. I'm glad we got sick at the same time and I dodged it. If she just got sick randomly, I wouldn't be as celebratory.
Well, right. I mean, that's when it's a weird way to attack it, because that's when they're at their most vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Not to go back to Phantom Thread again, but she, you know, Alma loves it. If you haven't seen the movie, she like really loves her partner Daniel Day-Lewis the most when he is at his most sick, because suddenly he's like vulnerable and kind of nice to her, and she's like his to take care of, and you know he's in trouble. You don't seem to really be feeling that.
Give me a quote. Give me a quote, and Aaron will tell us if it's from Phantom Thread or Die Hard.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You go ahead. Let me start. Go ahead.
Okay. Don't pick a fight with me. You certainly won't come out alive. I'll go right through you, and it'll be you who ends up on the floor.
Aaron.
That's not Die Hard. That's Phantom Thread.
Okay. I'm Agent Johnson. This is it. I'm Special Agent Johnson. This is Special Agent Johnson. No relation.
That's Die Hard.
Okay. Here's another one. Oi, mushrooms. You got mushrooms on my wedding dress. Oi. Oh, no. I'm going to retire. What was that?
I mean, that's got to be Phantom
Thread. That's good. you did get fed, though, today.
Yes.
I mean, before the show, we have a listener, and we've mentioned it on the show, Evan from Evan's Smokehouse.
Mm-hmm.
It's out near the Brea Comedy Place.
Yep.
Maybe in Yorba Linda.
Yorba Linda, yes.
And
Yorba Linda.
And you've mentioned how he had offered to come in and cook us some beautiful barbecue at the show, and he's shown up to your comedy shows and done it before, at least one comedy show. And so he did it today. And so we are fresh off of some incredible brisket and pulled pork and smoked pastrami. I've never had smoked pastrami like made in such a way like a brisket. It just like melted in my mouth. It was one of the best things I've ever had.
Yeah, delicious. We ate responsibly. We ate a little bit light. We wanted to get enough in us to like be cool, but not be so tired. I think Aaron had probably more than either one of us and is a little sleepy back there.
There's banana pudding, guys.
There is banana pudding.
So well, yeah, we're going to load up afterwards, but I wanted to just try a little bit of everything first so I could give Evan, you know, the proper kudos, because it really is awesome.
It is great. Same. I mean, this is like the fifth or sixth time this guy has brought me food, and it's always fantastic.
I don't feel like you're grateful enough for people that cook for you. You know, you've never cooked anything good in your life. You did get at the Popeye's Thanksgiving turkey, mm-hmm. You told me.
Yeah, I got the Popeye's turkey. Liz made it. I had to just heat it up and then ate Thanksgiving dinner at her place with her roommates, who are amazing cooks, like incredible vegetarian options. But it was a fun Thanksgiving, a sober Thanksgiving, my first sober Thanksgiving.
How was that? And coming off of the show sober, and I'm even thinking about a week from, or it's not even a week away, Friday night is the All Things Comedy company party.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, like, what's that going to be like sober?
I just want to see, Aaron, are you bringing your wife?
Yep.
Are you bringing your kid?
No, you can't bring kids. It's too late. Yeah.
You could bring kids. I could bring kids.
You
think if I showed up on Friday night at the All Things Comedy Party with Aaron's kid, they wouldn't let me in?
Oh, they'd love it.
Yeah. It's a hostage situation.
You guys are more of like a Sunday afternoon thing, though, like that.
Me and Aaron's kid? Yeah. How old is your kid?
She'll be two next week.
We'll see. did you watch the soccer game today?
I was at work, but yeah. I mean, Thanksgiving break is not a break, really, with the NFL season. I was working, you know, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, you know, every day through. But so I sort of half watched it. We were taping a show during the second half, so it was on.
Needs your full attention?
Yeah. What do you mean? The game needs my full attention or the Around the NFL podcast needs our full attention?
The Around the NFL podcast.
I mean, we do like five a week, so if one is a little distracted, I think it's fine. Yeah. People will survive.
I think so, too. I think so, too. I watched it. I don't really have World Cup fever. I've enjoyed watching.
Because it's in Qatar.
It's always somewhere fucking crazy.
But it's not in the fall. It needs to be in the summer.
Yeah. And I enjoy reading articles about how like mad Qatar is. Like they're just like pissed. They thought the world was going to love them and like celebrate them. And everyone's like, we hate you. We know how you got this. You're all losers.
I haven't read anything about that. That's where are you reading this articles? Where Qatar is like saying that everyone hates them.
New York Times, pissed. I think. Like, I mean, legit news sources that are saying like they thought the world would celebrate them. And they're like, they think it's almost racist the way people have been talking about them and shitting on them while they're doing this. And they've asked for it in certain ways. But in some ways, I kind of see their point. But I don't care that much. I'm glad the U.S. advanced out of the
group stage,
whatever the group stage, and now they're in the elimination stage.
They're single in the round elimination. Of 16, yeah.
Is that single elimination?
We got the Netherlands. We're coming for you, Dutch.
Speak no evil. That's a movie where Dutch people have to die.
I wanted to tell you
Wait, Denmark is Danish, not Dutch.
The Netherlands? What is the? I'm an idiot. I'm truly a dumb American.
No, the Netherlands. I thought you said. I thought it was Denmark. Aaron.
No, it's the Netherlands who we're playing. Can you call them the Dutch? I totally messed that up.
I read about them in Time magazine. Aaron, what's that from? Phantom Thread or Die Hard?
It's the Asian Dawn from Die Hard.
John Booby. Capiche?
It's Hans Booby.
Hans.
I'm your white knight.
Wait, isn't he talking to John on the phone? John, no, come on. These guys are serious.
It's when he's pitching himself to Hans at the beginning.
I must have missed 60 minutes. I could do this all day. And the listeners love it. They eat it up. Like it's from Evan's Smokehouse by the Brea Improv.
It's like 10 minutes away. That's what he told
Netherlands,
me.
They do speak Dutch, so I believe you can.
Yeah, I Googled it. I don't think I said anything wrong here. Before we move from the week, I do want to tell you a somewhat disappointing story involving you indirectly in my house. My son built a family tree at school, and he wanted to include his godfather.
When you say built, do you mean Drew?
I don't know. It was like... I haven't seen it yet, to be honest. They're having a big showcase this weekend at night on Family Tree Night or Family Heritage Night. And there were a couple extra spots in the tree, he said, that were still available, and he wanted to include his godfather, even though he hasn't seen his godfather too much lately, but he loves you. And we realized we didn't have a good picture. Like, I just sent her pictures from my phone, and she was like, well, if you print it out, then it just doesn't come out the right size. We need, like, an actual photo that you can get, you know, from Walmart, from an actual, you know, and we don't have one of Anthony. And by then, it was too late, so you didn't make the family tree cut.
You couldn't find a picture.
But Walker wanted you to. Wanted you.
You couldn't Google me?
Well, of course I have pictures in my phone and there's pictures online, but she was saying printing out, it was going to be like, it was too big. She couldn't figure it out or it was stretched out. She needed an actual like eight, you know, whatever size it is, 4x6, like glossy photo or something like that. And I don't know if it had to be glossy.
Why?
I could have found an old college picture, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I have any. I don't know if that makes me a bad person.
Yeah. You could have reached out too. I'm dating a photographer.
I actually don't. Well, that's true. By then it was too late, and I wanted this to happen, but I wasn't really doing anything to make it happen, and Walker wanted it to happen, But he's, you know, seven.
You overruled Walker.
He was like seven, but no one made it happen.
I'm dating a beautiful, sexy photographer who's looked like shit all week. She would have gladly done something.
Maybe we can get a last minute edition or something. Heritage Night, Thursday night. So I apologize for that, but I thought it was kind of funny.
And now it's time for, did we get any notes?
Did we get any notes?
No notes, really. And if we did, I didn't pay attention at all.
I do have one note.
You have one note? Okay. I have one thing I wanted to talk about, but go ahead.
It's from it is from a listener, Ruji Lee from Sweden. And she just wants us to say the names of our recommendations twice when we do Recommendation Station, that she often has to, like, or he, I don't know, has to, like, rewind a lot of times because we, you know, we just say it once. We kind of skip past it. And so I thought that was a good note. You can also check out jrvprecommendationstation.com, but that's blocked on my computer because according to the NFL, it's porn content. That's what
I don't think that's been updated in a while.
Oh, really?
I have a theory about someone was behind it who's no longer behind it. But I don't know. I don't think I've updated it in a long time.
No, I don't. I could have sworn because it works on my phone, but it doesn't work on my laptop because it's porn content. But I guess that doesn't really make any sense. I guess they're fine watching porn on your phone.
But I also I always make sure I repeat my selection.
They are up to date right now. Okay. Rachel Cusk, second place.
Okay. My theory was wrong. I always try to say it twice. I think Greg will introduce it and then talk way too long about it and then just like get embarrassed and move on. So I think it's more a note for you. But I will take that note and try to repeat it a couple times. But again, we have recorded this, and it's in like a 2 minute block at the end of the podcast. You can just hit the 30-second rewind and hear what we said. Hear our recommendation. But I do like your passion about the recommendation. My thing, I had an idea because I was thinking about maybe for Christmas paying someone on Cameo to record the junior vice president that we've had Aaron say, and I enjoy the way Aaron says things. But I thought we're missing something. This is an opportunity. And I was like, you know, who should I get to do this? And I thought about offering Lindsay Lohan $500 to just record it. But then I'm like, are they going to be like, is it like an actor or someone going to be like, well, if you're going to use it on a podcast over and over again, it's not just a one-time thing. I didn't want to get into all that. So what I thought would be a fun thing is a listener contest, a listener or a viewer contest. If you watch the Jessel Nick and Rosenthal Vanity Project,
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
Watch it on YouTube. Then it's a watch situation. But our listeners, all our watchers, email us. Email Greg at jrvpjuniorvicepresident@gmail.com with an audio clip. Audio clip only. Video, I don't need to see it. We're not going to use the video. But we're using the audio that Greg could hit the button and play it after we say Jessel Nick and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
And it could be one of you, one of our beautiful listeners, our beautiful listener voices doing it. And I think you guys know what I want. If you want to get creative with it, get creative with it. We might not choose you. You know, I think you could try to be fun or you could try to get the gig. And if you do, if we decide to use yours, maybe we'll play a couple of them on the air. I'll decide which one we're going to go forward with. And if you get it, I will send you some treats. I will send you some Jesselnik merch, some JRVP merch. Maybe I've been doing a thing
what
this year.
What were you
year.
Talking about? What are the treats?
I just said some it's all legal? Some merch. Yeah, okay. Legal stuff. But like a box of things. You're like, oh, cool. I got this from Anthony. Because this year I've gotten down two rabbit holes. One, I've bought a ton of hats. And I just like keep on looking for the perfect hat. And then
baseball
I'm like,
hats or what
baseball
kind of hats?
Yeah, baseball okay. hats. I got like a Lakers hat. I got a New Orleans Pelicans hat. A couple Steelers hats, but mostly like baseball caps. And I have too many. And I need to get rid of some of them. But it's still like a game-worn Jesselnik hat. And then I have...
Are you going
to
sign
them? The hats are just okay. I could. If they wanted a signed hat, I might just give them a hat. But I've been on a sunglass tear. Where I got really into this one company of sunglasses. The very expensive sunglasses. And they come out with like limited edition. They have like 400 copies and then it's like it's over. And I have way too many sunglasses. I can't return them anymore. And sunglasses are a tough gift, but I might give whoever gets their recording of Junior Vice President on a very, very, very nice pair of sunglasses with the original packaging, with the box. But you're going to be like, oh, where'd you get these glasses? Oh, Anthony Jeselnik gave them to me. I earned them from Anthony Jeselnik. I earned these on the field. Play ball. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. And that was.
Die Hard.
That was. Did we get any notes?
And that was. Did we get any notes?
And now it's time for a little something we like to call Email Corner.
Email Corner. Email. Email. Emails are a thing. Thing. Email. Email. Email Corner. Email. Email. It's Email Corner.
Emails have been around as long as the internet has been around. We like to take advantage of that, harness the power of the internet, and take questions and comments from you, the listener slash viewer. And if we read your email on the air today, no sunglasses for you.
Damn. I mean, you said you like wanted to treat yourself coming off the road. What are all these sunglasses? You've just been treating yourself throughout.
It's been a whole year thing where I'm like, oh, that's cool. Oh, those are cool. And I get a pair. I'm like, oh, you know, these are nice, but you know what? Those look nice. And then on the road, this like I've gotten one, like a new pair every weekend because I'm like, tour has gone great. I want to get something. Oh, these are new. Let me get some. And I've got way too many sunglasses. Way too many sunglasses.
You're crazy. You're like Joan Didion with all these sunglasses.
I am like
her estate sale where you could get, you know, 8 pair of Joan Didion sunglasses for $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was the one thing I wanted though from Joan Didion, were sunglasses.
The multi-pack or the one, there was like a pair of Celine glasses and there was like a bunch of different random ones.
The multi-pack would have been cool, but even one would have been cool. Just I felt like that was the one thing she had that I was like, yeah, I would walk around in Joan Didion sunglasses. They look cool, but B, I would just have like special Didion power.
Yeah, if you thought they looked good on her, wait till you see them on Greg.
I mean, we're about the same size, maybe. And she was a small woman.
Maybe now.
You can email us at jrvpjuniorvicepresident@gmail.com. And yeah, that's also where you can enter our contest to be the new JRVP voice. Isn't that rude to Aaron, though? It feels like you're kind of cutting his knees out. Like, I want to make it clear that it has nothing to do with Aaron's performance, at least on my end. But this was a unilateral decision by Anthony.
Yeah, Aaron, how do you feel about this? Do you feel like we're cutting off your dick and then taking out your knees with it?
No, I mean, I'm still here. I'm still available to say Die Hard whenever you need.
Yeah.
Yeah, Aaron's over there being like, come out to the coast, come to the party, have a few laughs. You know?
That's pretty good.
Die Hard.
Our first question is about Tulane. The Tulane Green Wave. And this was a question from a couple weeks ago. It said, with Tulane currently ranked so high, will you lobby for College Game Day to come to Tulane and have one or both of you be the guest celebrity picker for College Game Day? We also got a tweet from our friends at Campus Connection, right on Broadway in Tulane, right next to where we used to live at the old, I don't know, next to the frat house. They have nice stuff at Campus Connection. They were saying with Tulane hosting the conference championship this weekend, will me and you watch the game together? Hashtag feels like 98.
Do you know what cross street the Campus Connection was on?
No, I don't remember.
It was on Broadway and Birth. We were right there.
Yeah.
I believe I'm right about that. B-U-R-T-H-E. We will not watch the game together. I've watched a couple Tulane games this year. I know you've watched them because you've texted me during games. I've seen you tweet after the game or before the game. I'm into it. I think we're both excited about it. We're like a little less excited than we would be if we like lived in New Orleans and were down there, obviously. But I've been pumped about it. I don't think we'll get together and watch the game on Saturday, but we will see each other Saturday night for dinner to celebrate the result, win or lose. You got to celebrate.
We're celebrating the win. If they win, they'll be in what is it called, the Big Six College Bowl game on January 1st or something like that. They're going to be in the Cotton Bowl against a big-time team. We didn't get that chance when we were at Tulane. They were undefeated. I know people don't probably care in 1998, but they were undefeated when we were there, and this is their first good team since then. I don't get a chance to watch as much as I'd like because it's the game happens on Saturday, which is my only day off of the week, and it's my only day to really spend time, extended time with my children, my family during the week, during the NFL season. So we're out and about quite a bit, but when I'm home and I can, I watch it, and this is the biggest game. And I think it's cool that there's like a campus stadium. I would love to get there, and you should be the guest celebrity picker. I'm not big enough.
You're not. It would be weird if you would seem like you were like a handler, like you were there to like keep me under control, which is not going to happen. I don't think they have two people be the celebrity picker, but I would absolutely do it. I'm not going to try to get the job. I'm not going to like lobby for the job. But if they offered it to me, I'd be there in a heartbeat. Do you remember when Tulane played BYU in that bowl game the year they were undefeated? We were all mad we had to play BYU. We wanted to play like a bigger game.
It was the Liberty Bowl. They just trounced them, and then Tulane was ranked seventh at the end of the year. And it was like, well, what? It was anticlimactic. What a silly sport where you can go undefeated and you just get voted sixth.
Mm-hmm. I remember Lee Corso earlier in the year said Tulane could go undefeated and play for the national championship, and everyone made fun of him for it. And then Tulane did go undefeated, which was great. I remember one of our friends went to the game at the Liberty Bowl and held up a sign that said Jews 1, Mormons 0. And I thought that was very funny.
It was. I was the color commentator, Tulane Student Television, back in the day.
Yeah, I think my opportunity to celebrate Tulane on ESPN this year is come and gone.
Well, they didn't ever go to New Orleans. There was one week where everyone thought they were going to, mm-hmm. and instead they went to Texas or some nonsense. The reality is it's hard to get people excited about Tulane because it's a very city campus. There's not a lot of pride in the school, I wouldn't say, from like alumni compared to most schools. And the football program was very tough to get people to come out to. That, you know, even now it's somewhat tough, but especially when they were playing in the Superdome and it was just kind of silly.
Yeah, but even then, that year we went undefeated, I remember people being very excited that if anyone in New Orleans wants a chance to celebrate and party for some reason, they don't care. That Tulane football being great, I'm into it. We've got two losses, but I think we'll finish out strong.
One loss.
Two losses.
Did they have two losses?
Two losses.
I'm an idiot.
Glass. Well, who gives a shit about Glass?
They're gonna beat UCF. We're coming for you, UCF. What even is UCF? All right, our next.
Hey, wait, Aaron. What movie is that from?
Die Hard.
Thank you.
Next question is from Peter Thilly, an assistant professor of history at Ole Miss, and he says he loves the podcast. He's writing because he's interested in Anthony's thoughts on professors doing crowd work and jokes, presumably during class. I love it, he says, when I am able to nail a joke and make the students laugh, but I do not have a great track record in terms of being able to predict what will land and what won't. Do either of you have memories of teachers or professors who did a good job of this? Anthony, how would you approach humor if you found yourself teaching a class on Chinese history? What would you do if a student makes a long, rambling point that is tangential at best? What should I do to be more entertaining?
I think as a professor, you've got to be dry with it. I think if you're trying too hard, they might like politely laugh at your joke. You might even get them every now and again, but it's still going to be uncomfortable in class. You're like, I feel like I have to give him some energy and I should just be here trying to learn. But if you're very dry, if someone gives a long rambling answer and you're just like, brilliant, and then move on, then it's like you can laugh if you want, or you can kind of ignore it and keep taking your notes. Don't put yourself out there too much as the professor. Have some jokes built in, but have them be subtle that if they don't land, then you don't worry. It doesn't mess up with your flow. But if it's all building, if you're talking for 10 minutes about the Great Wall, if you will, and it's building to a joke and the joke doesn't land, then you've wasted everyone's time. Don't make me have to try to laugh in classes. I've had professors that like were the epitome of what not to do as a humorist, but never anyone's that I'm like, I love going to this guy's class. It's so funny. No one's taken Chinese history for the laughs. Chinese history is one Holocaust after another. It's insane. And if I was teaching Chinese history and I want to get a laugh, impression of a Chinese person, what does this guy look like?
He's a white guy.
Yep.
The beard, relatively young.
Then you're already set up.
He has a PhD from Northwestern. He has a book, too, about the opium business in China from 1832 to 1946. It's a laugh riot.
Yeah,
it's a corker.
I'm going to say, serious advice, I'm going to say use sarcasm and dry humor to make the class laugh. If someone makes a point, be like, oh, wow, I've never thought of that.
Well, I don't know. You got to be careful with that because you might not know your students' sensibilities that well. And if they're very sensitive and you're like kind of shitting on their questions, maybe that's not what you want to be doing as
a professor.
That's
why you don't shit on it. You just kind of like...
I mean, that is shitting on it. Maybe you don't think that is. But if you were like, oh, that's a great point, I think that's like the definition of shitting on it. I think you can't plan out being funny in these classes. I'm a little worried that when the Peter Thilly here says, like, he's really happy that when he can make the students laugh and nail the joke, but he can't predict like when it will land and when it won't, because it makes it feel like there's some premeditated material.
For sure.
I think the only chance that you have to be a funny professor is to be off the cuff and make some little jokes about your subject here and there as it naturally comes up. And for that, you'd have to be kind of naturally funny. And either you are or you aren't, but I think forcing it would be troubling.
So we've got two sets of advice about the professor who wants to make jokes in class. The advice that comes from a NFL podcaster.
What?
And the one that comes from a professional comedy god. So I don't know, Professor Thilly, which one of us you wouldn't listen to. But I think it's probably the guy who nails. No fucking shit, lady. You sound like I'm ordering a pizza.
Die hard.
I think we know where we're going. And then I would say maybe I would be fun in terms of like give them points in class for watching that, like the Matt Damon movie where he's in China fighting monsters. What was that called?
The Great Wall.
The Great Wall. Yes.
He was not fighting monsters.
He was. Why do you question me when you know I know?
Well, when you have such bad advice for professors and how to be funny, I can't trust anything.
You shit on your students. They ask they answer a question. Shit on the answer.
All right, let's move on to the next.
If you grade, you're grading it. You got to give somebody an F. Right, F for fucking stupid, and then see what happens.
Be like D-, at least you're better than old dipshit over there. Mm-hmm. Frank.
Just
pick like one student to mercilessly like pile on, and then everyone else will kind of enjoy. It'll be like a bonding experiment for everyone else.
Well, if you're a college professor and the student in your class kills themselves, you automatically get a perfect professor rating. At the end, it's like if you got the 4.0 professor rating at the end of the semester. You know, they fill out the little scantron of like, what do you think of your course? What do you think of the professor? You get a perfect one. It's called weeding them out.
Our next question is from Amber. It's not really a question. It's more of just a story that I found humorous. It turns out, Amber says, that she went to a show in Ontario, Canada, expecting to see Anthony, or she bought a plane ticket to Ontario, Canada to see Anthony. And unfortunately, the show was in Ontario, California. She said she booked the trip as a surprise for her husband's birthday and flew from Calgary, Alberta. So she's Canadian, and she says, you can see why this is confusing, as CA is Canada as well as California. When booking the tickets, she thought, oh, that's odd. It isn't listed as Toronto. It's listed as Ontario, but I figured this was to avoid confusion for Americans. Little did I know, and she points out, you know, it was a little colder in Canada than it was in California, but that she highly recommends considering Calgary for your future tour date. So that was Amber. So she didn't get to go see you, but she did have a couple empty seats at your Ontario, California show, and she is getting called out here on the podcast, and her husband hopefully appreciates that.
Yeah, I don't think she's the only one who thought I was going to Canada when they saw Ontario. I always thought, when I hear Ontario, I think Canada myself, but there is no improv in Canada, so that should have been your first clue. I have been to Calgary a couple times, and again, I'm starting out my January tour dates in Spokane, which is Canada Junior, if you will. I believe it's right there on the border. But I do like Calgary. I went to Calgary on my last tour. I went like to a club in the beginning. And I don't love Canadian comedy clubs. I'll tell you why. Because of the exchange rate. I make less money going to Canada. Whatever the rate is, it always turns out.
You sure that's still the case now? Because I feel like the U.S. dollar.
Because when I see the money of like what I'm going to get, it's not the exchange rate so much. It's just like what they pay that I'm like, you know what? I'd rather go in a theater. I love Vancouver. Love Toronto. Love Calgary. Montreal is amazing. I've never been to a bad place in Canada, but the last time I was in Calgary, I'll never forget it because I get on stage and it was like toward the end of the tour. And so I'm pretty worn down. And I'm doing the show. The place is sold out. And these people in the front row are so obnoxious. It was like a rich guy and three women who were like all Karens. The women were all Karens. And the guy was like, this is for me. And like a lot of times rich people buy the scalper tickets. Like a lot of my shows, front rows are empty because the scalpers buy them, charge too much, and no one sits there. It's still sold out.
Damn.
There's no one in the front row. I don't care. As long as the tickets have been bought. But if I see only like two people in the front row, that means like rich people went and were just like, we'll pay whatever. And I'm sitting here now. And a lot of times they think the show is just for them. And I'm doing the show in Calgary. And I don't realize in the first 10 minutes that it's just that these four people in the front that are ruining the show. I think it's the whole crowd. Like they're bothering me. Because when you're in the front row, it just like, it affects me more than it affects the audience. And I'm getting mad. And I'm like, fucking get it together, Calgary. Like I'm like talking to the city. And then as I'm going, I realize it's these four people. And I have them thrown out. I warn them at first, and the audience is like annoyed with them.
What are they doing?
Like being obnoxious. It's like during a setup, like yelling something out, not heckling, but just like being too vocal, like laughing too much. Like just acting like the show is for them when it's like for everyone. And if it's bothering me, it's a problem. And I have them thrown out. And then the show goes great, and a kid who's like halfway back raises his hand. And I'm like, yeah, what is it now? And he goes, now that those people are gone, like, do you like Calgary? Because I'd been so negative about Calgary the first like 20 minutes of my set. And I'm like, kid, now that those people are gone, I'm going to be the fucking mayor. And the place like went nuts. And then it was one of the best shows of the whole tour that I was like, oh, I can't believe I let these four people bother me for so long. And then had a great show that I owe Calgary one. I owe Calgary a good 20 minutes to start. And then I can just fuck off.
Damn. If you're out there, four people in the front, Gary, Colleen, Janice, Patricia, you suck.
Holly!
Die hard.
You just reminded me, by the way, I've got a live show coming up. You mentioned your live shows. People should check out the Around the NFL podcast playing at the Bourbon Room in Los Angeles on Wednesday, January 18th. Tickets on Ticketmaster. How about that?
And that was... Did we get any notes?
Email corner. Diamonds around the world unite.
That was email corner.
For once, I got it right. You got it
you
wrong.
Didn't say, but you didn't say anything. You didn't get anything right. I mean, got it wrong. That doesn't make you right.
Well, the fact that I hit the right button despite you saying it wrong, I feel like is like it's a victory. It's close. You didn't seem happy about me throwing out the tickets there. I'd kind of forgotten.
Mrs. Gennaro.
There.
Thank you. And now it's time for
ad copy.
It is time for ad copy, and we're starting off with Dave. With the holidays around the corner, you might be wondering how you're going to make ends meet and shower your loved ones with gifts. And Dave can help you get out of a pinch so you can enjoy the holiday season. Look, we've all been in a spot.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. Like, when you say Dave, you're talking about the TV show on FX?
No, the app. I should point out it's a bank. It's an app.
This is like the movie with Kevin Klein where he looks just like the president?
No, the banking is actually provided by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. But what Dave is an app that you can get from the App Store or on Dave.com, and it helps you get up to $500 instantly if you need it with extra cash. It's a banking app with no interest, no late fees or credit checks. We've all been in spots during the holiday season where you need a little extra money and you're going to be able to pay back that money, but it would be great to have it right now to go help out and get some gifts for the
people. You need to borrow some money. You know you're good for it, but you don't want to bother someone, bother a family member, bother a friend. You're basically borrowing money from yourself, loan to yourself, Dave it up.
You can
Dave and Buster's.
You can finally tackle expenses that have been stressing you out without any hangups. Millions of people have already downloaded the Dave app to get the financial relief they need with extra cash. Remember, it's up to $500. If you're in a pinch and need some extra help, download Dave. Think of it as a helping hand from the future you. Download the Dave app from the App Store right now or go to Dave.com. Sign up for an extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to Dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Black Buffalo is here. And Black Buffalo is kind of something that I have a ritual for. Do you have any rituals that you can have a ritual for if you're dipping? Like, what are your rituals in life, Anthony?
Well, you mean like while I'm dipping? Like, is dipping a part of the ritual?
No, I'm just saying like in your life, any dip, any ritual. Like, I think Black Buffalo is a ritual to a lot of people. So they're saying you can talk about whatever rituals you have in your own life.
Wake up in the morning, buy some sunglasses.
Dipping's a ritual that a lot of people do almost every day. And if you want to try a tobacco-free alternative, Black Buffalo, we think you will enjoy it. If you're 21 or over and you dip or chew tobacco pouches or long cut, again, a tobacco alternative, Black Buffalo, is everything you love about the dipping, the feel, the taste, the ritual, just without the actual tobacco leaf or stem. Like, for me, a daily ritual is my morning coffee. I go to the couch. I put a little NFL game pass, start watching some football early, start cranking through that tape with my coffee, ignore the children and whatever's going on there. And that's like how I start my day. It's like how a lot of people start their day with Black Buffalo. You have different flavors.
That first plug in the morning, you know what I mean? You wake up, throw a little Black Buffalo, it just feels good. That's what I miss about my day is doing that. And I think the Black Buffalo Zero, is that what they call it?
Yeah.
That has no nicotine. I think that would be great in the morning. Maybe start out with that, trick your body, and then you get that first plug of the day later on.
You got wintergreen, mint, straight peach, even blood orange in terms of different flavors. NASCAR's Ryan Blaney is into it. MMA fighter Donald Cowboy Cerrone. They all dip with Black Buffalo. If you're ready to keep the ritual but ditch the tobacco and you're over 21, it's time to get Black Buffalo. Everything you love about dipping, nothing you don't. Head to blackbuffalo.com. Use the promo code JRVP at checkout for 25% off your first order. That's the best offer you'll find. Have to use the code JRVP for 25% off your first order. One last time, promo code JRVP. For 25% off your order at blackbuffalo.com. We're also going to talk about Athletic Greens. You were on the road, Anthony. I know you took your travel packs for Athletic Greens.
You know, we've been talking about Athletic Greens a lot on the show. We both love it. We're both big fans. We've been preaching the Athletic Greens ministry on the road. The other day, I told you Liz was sick. I was kind of under the weather, and I knocked it out. I got my flu shot, but I'm looking around my house for little vitamin C things that like have like health benefits that can get me over this cold faster. All the stuff I had, those like wellness formula packets are bad. They've expired. I'm looking for something that's got vitamin C. Athletic Greens has like way over 100% of vitamin C. It's the most vitamin C you can have in the day. And I was like, oh, I can just drink my Athletic Greens like normal, and that will help me get over the cold. Maybe that's why I didn't get as sick. As I usually do. Athletic Greens, it has benefits on benefits on benefits.
It's got all the vitamins you need in one scoop of water, or a scoop of cup in a cup of water every
10
day.
10 ounces.
That's it. I go like 8.5.
I'm a 10, man.
I like the stronger flavor.
Anywhere between 8 and 12 is okay. You go 13, you're going to be getting a call from Mr. Athletic Greens. He's going to be pissed.
plus,
you go 7, you're taking your life in your own hands.
It's very healthy to just drink a big cup of water when you first wake up. That's one of the things that's recommended. But now I just replace that with Athletic Greens. That is my big cup of water, and it's Athletic Greens. It's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. One scoop in a cup of water every day. No need for a million different pills and supplements. Look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is giving a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D, 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Visit athleticgreens.com/JRVP. Again, athleticgreens.com/JRVP to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Good for your gut health, great for your butt health. And that was?
Ad copy. Oh, no more table. Darn.
Headlines. All right, let's start with the most common link that our readers sent us in the last few weeks. It's about Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Fuck yeah.
Who has apologized after urging customers in Germany to celebrate Kristallnacht by buying some cheesy chicken. And if you don't know what Kristallnacht is, I don't know how my pronunciation is exactly there. You took German. I did not, but I am German. I guess you are German too?
Somewhere. I'm Germanic.
My dad was born in Germany. But if you don't know what Kristallnacht is, it's a series of 1938 Nazi-led attacks that left 90 Jewish people killed and destroyed many Jewish-owned places of business and worship.
It was like a soft opening for the Holocaust. It's like it's basically where like this is how it's going to be from now on. That's Kristallnacht. It's bad. Everyone knows it's bad. No one celebrates it. I think if they mark it, it's like almost like a 9/11 kind of thing where you're like, okay, remember this day. What was the ad? Was it like, hey, it's Kristallnacht. What are you doing? Come to KFC?
Here's the quote. It was sent as an app alert. So if you had the app on your phone, the KFC app in Germany, you got a notification that morning that said, quote, it's Memorial Day for Kristallnacht. Treat yourself with more tender cheese on your crispy chicken now at KFC Cheese.
Yeah, that's, I mean, and what was their explanation? Was it like they didn't
know
what it was?
It's actually KF Cheese. You know, the C works on the C and the cheese. I mean, it is really amazing. It's Memorial Day for Kristallnacht. It's they put a slammer there, an exclamation point. Treat yourself with more tender cheese on your crispy chicken. I think it's a lot funnier that it's cheesy chicken and not just chicken. But their explanation was funny too. They blamed it on a bot. So they said that
I believe that.
I do too. Their app was programmed with all like days off during the holiday year that basically it's just like an app, a bot that sends out whatever commemorations or days that people off from work, it just automatically sends out like celebrate mm-hmm. this with a special deal, and they, you know, they didn't take it out.
Yeah, I 100% believe it. But also, if you're in Germany and you have the KFC app on your phone, you also have a picture of Hitler in your house. You also do. So I don't know if it was like that outrageous for them. If it was, I believe it because it was Kristallnacht, like cheesy chicken. If it had been like oven baked chicken, then I wouldn't buy the coincidence. But do you remember when the Aurora shooting happened and some clothing company was like, we see Aurora's trending. Must be our Aurora sweaters. And people went crazy. And it was like, no one, that's a bot. A bot did that, saw trending things and like put out a tweet. No one is like, oh, let's sell some sweaters. Let's sell some cardigans on this glorious day.
It is commemorated. It's a pretty serious holiday. I did some research on it. It's basically, yeah, a memorial event and discussion scheduled really to reflect the entire Holocaust and murder of 6 million Jewish people. And I think that's kind of the day that's chosen to remember. My grandfather was there back in 1938 and grandmother when Kristallnacht happened. Mm-hmm. I don't think KFC was open back then, but if it was, like, they loved fried chicken. I'm not even kidding.
I like to think
they would love a little KFC.
If KFC had been in Germany in the 40s, I think they would have saved a lot of lives. I think they would have like hid people in the basement and it would have been okay. I think your grandfather would still be alive today.
I mean, he didn't die then.
He'd still be alive.
Oh, well, he would be.
KFC makes you live forever.
He was 88, I believe, when he passed, which was when we were sophomores in college. So that was, you know, 23 years. You know, he would be 113, 14 around now. So that seems like a long time for that KFC cheesy chicken to keep you going.
I mean, but that's, it's like when people retire and they die right after because they have no like reason to get up. If you got KFC cheesy chicken and it's Kristallnacht, that's, you're double fisting already. It sounds like a great way to do it. I love when companies put their foot in their mouths like this. It's like have you been following the Balenciaga thing?
I just heard about that. in the makeup chair at work, actually. Mm-hmm. It was a makeup artist who told me about this story, and I was amazed by it.
Like, I don't know much about it, Balenciaga. I know that, like, a lot of rappers talk about them. I know Kanye's obsessed with them. I know Kim Kardashian, like, works for them and does stuff for them.
Bags.
And
there's a store near Emeka's parents' house in Tokyo.
But they're, it's, like, very expensive stuff that, like, I see people getting mad about this on Twitter. And it's like, Balenciaga is like, oh, what they did was they had an ad campaign where it was like little kids holding like a teddy bear. And the teddy bear was like an S&M themed teddy bear. Like it had like a like leather stuff on. Like it looked, I mean, it's pretty harmless. If people are like, oh, this is like pedophilia. It's not really. The teddy bear is dressed up weird. I know they were going for like edgy and it didn't work. But the people I see complaining online are people who would never shop at Balenciaga or never wear Balenciaga. I would never wear Balenciaga. It's a little too weird for me. But
I thought they're like bags and stuff. I don't even.
They have
know
all
what
kinds
Balenciaga
of shit.
Is.
They have all kinds of shit. But a lot of the stuff I see like says Balenciaga. Like it's very like a trendy. Like you want people to know you're wearing Balenciaga. That the Karens online screaming about this like it's children. How dare you? Is hilarious to me because they would never buy any of that shit. I'm sure the press isn't good for Balenciaga, but they'll be fine.
Well, yeah.
And I tried to buy one of those teddy bears. I really wanted one. I swear.
Well, I saw when I Googled this, the first stories that was coming up was like Kim Kardashian is, you know, rethinking her, you know, endorsement with Balenciaga or needs to have a serious conversation after this because like everyone is now having to make a statement, I guess, that's associated with Balenciaga. And then I went and looked at the pictures and like you, they weren't quite as bad as I was expecting. And they were kind of funny to see a teddy bear with like a chest harness. I mean, I am not sure why that was a good image to promote their holiday gift shop. That was what the ad was for. So it was a little odd.
I like
who is that really?
Who's it for? Yeah. But also, like, how many people did it get through to get onto their website is the funny thing. Is that, like, someone had the idea and, like, okay, let's shoot it. Let's see how it looks. Oh, this looks great. We're going to sell some Balenciaga shit now. And then put it on the website. And then they're like, oh, you know, we're going to sue the guys who made this. It's like, no, you agreed to put it up. It's very funny to me. And honestly, 100% harmless. No kids got extra sex because they saw this Balenciaga ad. If those kids were getting laid, they were getting laid already through no fault of Balenciaga's. I'm Team Balenciaga.
I mean, they've certainly gotten more traffic to their holiday gift shop, I would guess. I went there just to see these.
But I went there and I'm mad they don't have the bear anymore. Give me that bear.
I found other pictures of the bear. It's like KFC. I'm sure they're selling the shit out of the cheesy chicken this month after this story, don't you think? Just because people like myself are like, oh, they have cheesy chicken? I'd try that.
Really? Cheesy fried chicken sounds good to you.
I don't know. It just seems like, give it a
shot. Hey, if it's not coming from Evan's Smokehouse, I don't want it. Good people on both sides.
I'm excited about this next one. This is a school, not a circus. That's a quote. That's what a statement from a school board in Ontario, Canada said after joining students in protest of a trans teacher who has large breasts. The students started this protest. They held up signs and eventually the school board got involved as well with some signs that said like inclusivity is no excuse for depravity. They were distracted by this trans teacher with huge breasts.
And now were they huge? Were they big? Were they huge? Were they massive? Because in the headline you sent me, it's massive breasts.
Okay. So I felt one way about this story. Mm-hmm. And then I saw the picture and I felt like the conversation would be a little bit different after seeing the picture. So let's show it to Anthony.
That looks like a shot from the movie White Chicks where she's got to get basketballs out of the room because that is... Oh, I mean, it's funny that you got to see this on YouTube because it looks like they're dressed like a sexy mime for Halloween. The horizontal stripes, the white and black stripes aren't doing them any favors. This is, and you can see nipple. Like the nipples are coming
out. Well, that's what
you.
They said. They were saying like, you know, the rule is you can't show any nipples in the school. They can't be exposed. And so they were saying that this was against the rules. Although they weren't exposed, they were just protruding from from the beneath.
I see their point. Okay, listen, JRVP is pro-trans. We are extremely, we are allies, we are supportive. Do your thing. Let your flag fly. But this, this is a high school teacher. Like, you're going to get some comments no matter what when you're working in a high school. And those are bazungas. They are huge.
I don't know if this was official, but it was listed as size Z. And what they were fake fetish boobs or fake boobs that you can buy like at a S&M or fetish store. I guess they figured out, you know, what they are. They're just like plastic, huge boobs that you can wear. And they were, yeah, in the biggest size possible. So against that's not, this teacher,
that's
Kayla,
not on their
Kayla
body. That they put that on in the morning to go to work.
Yeah.
That's even crazier. And I think it's very funny that
they're prosthetics. So that's something you put on, right? Prosthetics.
Maybe you can have them put on permanently. I don't know. It is strange. It is noteworthy. I don't know if it would upset me. I don't know if I would do a protest, but I would definitely make fun of them in the halls.
I don't know if it even was that big of a deal. And I still am on the side of like the school board and having protests about it is still like they came too strong. Like they were being too harsh, saying this is a school, not a circus, and calling it depravity. Like they're taking it way too seriously. The teacher apparently was going to school with her new breasts. Her name was Kayla Lemieux for 2 weeks. And other students in the class were like, it wasn't that big of a deal. I'm sure students were making comments to each other, as they would with practically about any teacher in their appearance, especially if they weren't like wearing a bra and nipples were showing for anything.
This has got nothing to do with trans issues at all. This is a breast issue.
So they were talking about it for 2 weeks and it wasn't distracting and they were having the class and I don't think it was that big of a deal. But then one student popped up and like took a picture of it and parents saw it and then it started blowing up. And so I ultimately don't think like it needed to be something where you needed to get the teacher kicked out or anything.
No, I don't think the teacher needed, but someone should talk to the teacher and be like, hey, they're too big. Even if we're talking about a cis biological female who just had kids, maybe the breasts got big after they had kids like they do sometimes. Right, Aaron?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Then I think you got to put on a sweater or something. I don't know if I would call it a circus, but there's some juggling going on.
She also...
those breasts showed up in one car.
Happens to be, I believe, like a machine shop teacher.
Then that's a hazard. That's getting in the way of something.
Well, because there's a video, and I watched the video of her, cutting some wood. So it looks like wood shop with like a big, you know, saw. So she must be the wood shop teacher.
You never know. In Japan, I bet every classroom's got a wood shop machine.
It's Canada.
It's Canada?
It's Ontario. It's where your concert was supposed to be.
My stand-up comedy concert? Okay, I thought this was a Japanese thing for some reason. This is in Canada?
It's in Canada.
I don't know why I thought it was Japan. It seems like a Japanese thing to do. There's no winners in this story. I think you would just take them aside and be like, hey, tone it down a little for school. And again, I'm no prude. We don't kink shame here. But those are jugundas. Aaron, can I get a roller rolling here?
Oh, yeah, they're jugundas, yeah.
They're jugundas for sure. Okay. You know what? I'm pro teacher.
Okay, you've changed.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
I think the teacher could have downsized a little bit. You know,
wear size a coat. W instead of Z.
Mm-hmm. Maybe an X. Who knows? But again, they're also dressing to accentuate the boobies, tatas.
I mean, I don't think there's any way to dress to not accentuate them. Like you would have to wear a tent.
There are teachers out there. Aaron, back me up on this. There are teachers out there with giant bombs. There's got to be teachers out there with size Zs. But they're rolling in muumuus. They're rolling in smocks. They're not rolling in like the mime halter top.
It's a like, tightly like fitted a shirt over some bicycle shorts. So there's a lot going on.
Yeah. That's not okay. But it should be a conversation, not a school-wide protest. And leave the word circus out of it, even though that outfit they were wearing, kind of clowny.
So a student recently showed up to the nurse's office in Highland, New York, asking for some Vaseline to put on his new tattoo. The only problem was the student was 10 years old. The nurse called the cops, and the parent and the tattoo artist were subsequently arrested. It's not illegal to be a 10-year-old badass, but it is illegal in New York State to get a tattoo, even if you have permission, if you're under 18.
It is state-by-state rules, and I read the story. I don't read a lot of these, but I read this one, and I was kind of like, okay, the parents gave the kid permission to get a tattoo. The kid probably shouldn't have gotten that tattoo, because if you're cool enough to get a tattoo, you're cool enough not to narc on your parents. You're cool enough not to go to the school nurse and ask for Vaseline for your tattoo. Take care of it yourself. But then I saw the tattoo. Have you seen the tattoo?
No.
Aaron, have you seen the tattoo?
No.
It's maybe the worst tattoo a 10-year-old could get. It's the kid's name, his own name, across his arm in big letters, his forearm. It's bad.
It's not the logo to Phantom Thread.
Is there a logo to Phantom Thread? Or are you just thinking of Phantom of the Opera?
No. Like the title of the movie.
Yeah. Maybe like the name stitched in the jacket.
We got flat feet or something? Driving on a car, eating Twinkies.
Die Hard.
I shot a kid.
Wait, how did you must have found a different article? I did not.
No, the tattoo is huge. It's really big across their arm. If it was like a little tree, you know what I mean? It's some little tiny thing they gave their kid. If it was like, oh, one of our relatives died. They had this tattoo. The whole family got them. There are reasons I would hear you out as to why you let your 10-year-old get a tattoo. But this tattoo is brutal. They should be in jail.
Well, the mom made it. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I mean, you shouldn't be getting your 10-year-old a tattoo in general, but who am I to parent your kid, I guess. But when I heard her explain it, it got so much worse. She actually said she favors age limits, and she mistakenly believed her son was asking for permission to get a temporary tattoo.
This is a lie. And maybe the tattoo
artist, to get out of jail, maybe.
The tattoo artist should not have done it. They should not have given the tattoo. Whatever punishment they get, everyone here deserves. A 10-year-old?
The tattoo artist was arrested, and the mom was arrested.
If you're 16 and you get a tattoo, okay. But 10 and this tattoo, everyone needs to go to jail. The 10-year-old needs to go to jail.
That seems harsh. I mean, he's got the tattoo. That's bad enough. I feel so bad because the boy already seems like he regrets it. The boy was quoted in the article, and he said that talking about the tattoo artist, that he should have said no.
Yeah.
So he already regrets it.
Of course, no one thinks that's cool. Even a 10-year-old would be like, that's not cool. What you did is not cool. There are cool tattoos for 10-year-olds. Don't get me wrong. I don't think you should do it, but if there are reasons to get a 10-year-old a tattoo. This is not one of them. And the tattoo is so bad and so visible and so that kid's name that no one would ever think it was
Ellis cool. Is 11, my daughter. So, you know, I shudder to think of... you know, her getting a tattoo. If only because it would be so painful. I mean, painful.
It's where do you get the tattoo? If she gets a little, like, ladybug on her shoulder,
she would get a little owl, okay. I think.
But yeah, great. Great. But if she gets Ellis written across her forearm in, like, bubbled letters, like, shaky-looking bubble letters, you're going to jail, Greg.
Plus, isn't there the arm going to grow significantly and mess up the tattoo a little bit? I guess that's not a huge factor. I was reading this story and other stories about other children that got tattoos and had similar story. There was a Georgia couple who were arrested after they tattooed crosses on 6 of their children,
mm-hmm.
ages 10 to 17.
Gots to go situation.
That's a problem. One was like a heart on a kid, and I think his brother who had died's initials or something like that. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, you get
and
a
he
pass.
Wasn't 10. He was like 12 or 13. Different states, like as you said, allow it, and most don't.
Yeah, And I think even if they do, I think a responsible tattoo shop would not give a tattoo to a 10-year-old no matter what. I don't know how much this person needed the money. And if the 10-year-old was like, yeah, I want a tattoo, I'd be like, okay, you have parents' permission? Yes, I do. Okay, what's the tattoo? It's my name in big bubble letters across my forearm. No. They're all going to jail.
How did he pay for it?
She must have given him the money, right?
I mean, trust me, this tattoo didn't cost a lot of money.
And the guy said, he thought it was okay as long as you had permission. He didn't realize that it was illegal, and he
goodness. I mean, this will be easy to get removed. It's an easy tattoo to remove. The kid's young; he'll be fine. But
what do you mean? No tattoo's that easy to get removed, is it?
If it's, he's so young that if you get, maybe not right away, but in a couple of years, it'll be much easier. And his skin is still growing.
It's a reminder: you gotta take care of that tattoo afterwards so that you don't end up going to the nurse asking for Vaseline. If he had that mad rabbit tattoo, little free plug here today, I've been using it, then you would have been all good.
I would think the mom would be like, hey, don't mention this in school to any of the teachers. We're against.
Maybe moms that let their kids or approve of their kids getting tattoos aren't like the same moms that really think things through to avoid the school nurse.
Maybe if this kid, maybe if this 10-year-old's teacher wasn't some chick with giant bombs, maybe they would have thought twice about getting the tattoo, but no. And now it's time for Hang Your Head in Shame. You watch it on YouTube just to see Greg look on his face when he fucked up. And now it's time for
Ad Copy.
Zip Recruiter.
Zip, zip.
As the holidays approach, many businesses are hiring for festive jobs. You know, last month it would have been like turkey catcher. Now it's like bilingual Santa Claus, coffee and nut gift basket assembler. I do love a little coffee basket for Christmas. Reindeer wrangler. These are all actual jobs on ZipRecruiter. This is not a bit. If ZipRecruiter can fill these roles, what roles can't they fill? If you're hiring, go to ZipRecruiter.com/JRVP. ZipRecruiter makes it easy. They simplify the whole process when you're hiring using powerful technology. They find and match the right candidates up with your job. See a candidate who'd be perfect for your job. ZipRecruiter makes it easy to send a personal invite, and you can get your top choices so that they're more likely to apply. ZipRecruiter has easy to use dashboard, complete suite of tools that lets you filter, review, and rate your candidates.
You know, I'm auditioning. I'm meeting with a Zoom meeting with three assistant candidates tomorrow. One of them we found on ZipRecruiter.
How about that? 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Discover hiring joy with ZipRecruiter. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/JRVP. Try it for free. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/JRVP. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. You know, once you're done hiring, you're going to be hungry. And that's where Freshly comes in.
Freshly, give me that. Give me that Freshly. I want that chicken parm with the broccoli. I want to heat it up in less than 3 minutes, and I'm going to eat it. It's so good.
I like the steak peppercorn. I like some of the healthier options. If you're trying to go gluten-free or dairy-free or plant-based, those aren't really my bag, but they're all good.
I have plant-based. They're good. They're better than they have any right to be. If you're a vegetarian, you owe it to yourself. If you have pets and you want to save another animal's life, you owe it to yourself to get the Freshly plant-based options. If you're not, you're basically cutting down trees. The tree falls, it hits an animal, kills that animal, and then you walk away like nothing happened. Or you can get Freshly. Merry Christmas, motherfuckers.
I like the meatballs.
Die hard. If it's not Freshly, it's shit. If it's not Freshly, you just microwaved human shit.
Perfectly portioned, delicious, nutritious, prepared meals delivered right to your door. Revamp your routine this fall with Freshly. Save now for a limited time. You order today, you get $140 off your first 5 orders at Freshly.com/JRVP. That's Freshly.com/JRVP for $140 off your first 5 orders. Freshly.com/JRVP for $140 off your first 5 orders.
And that was
Ad Copy.
Two more headlines. We've been going on to four headlines lately, but these five headlines were so good. And I even combined Balenciaga with Kristallnacht because I thought, why the fuck not? It's my podcast.
All right, here's one of those headlines I'm just going to read word for word. This is from the Daily Mail. All right. Blind pedophile, 58, who used voice activation technology to find child sex abuse images online, which were then described to him by others over Skype, is jailed for 2 years.
Okay, see, the headline I saw, blind man who looks like Greg, caught looking at child porn pictures. So I was like, okay, like how, what do you mean? That seems like a prank you would just play on an old person.
That was the headline that whatever listener who was, you know, kind of being funny here, got me to look at the link by using that made.
Show me the guy.
But it wasn't accurate at all. If you're watching on YouTube, I mean, he looks exactly like you would expect a blind 58-year-old pedophile to look. He looks like a creepy janitor in Harry Potter or something. He doesn't look like me at all.
He looks like the guy who holds the pitchfork in that like farming painting, the famous one. You know, it's the guy and his wife. What do they call that?
American Gothic.
American Gothic. He looks like that dude a little bit. He's dressed like a pedophile for sure. The cane is a prop. That's what he uses to touch kids with. So he would sit. He would, like, how did he get caught with this? Did the person he asked to describe the picture to him report him?
No. It's amazing. He got caught by a courier. So I don't know if it was this was in the UK, I believe. I don't know if it was UPS or Amazon or whatever. Someone who was delivering a package walked by his window and saw him looking at, I think it was his phone, which is crazy, but I guess maybe he was right next to the window because how big could the phone be? And the images that he saw on the phone were very disturbing. They described what it was, and he could see it clearly, and he called the police.
I mean, that must be disturbing as fuck. If you can see someone's phone through a window, and the images are so disturbing that you've got to call the cops right away, that's some crazy shit.
Well, it was crazy shit. It was, you know, children sex abuse. I mean, it was...
I mean, Greg, there is no vanilla child porn. You know, it's all pretty out there. It's all pretty wild. It's like manga.
I mean, I try not to think about the details of it. And so, yes, when I was confronted with the details of what this actual picture was, it was very disturbing.
Because I assumed like a prank on a blind guy. Like, how would a blind people aren't getting arrested left and right for child porn? Because they'd just be like, hey, excuse me, are you blind? Oh, yes, I am. Would you hold this for me? And then walk away and watch them go to jail. It'd be funny every time.
So I was confused about the story, too. The investigation found a total of 689 photos and 67 videos showing twisted abuse of children aged as young as 1 month old. And what happened here is that since he can't see anymore, I think he did once have sight, but his eyes deteriorated. So he used to be into child porn. Then he lost his vision, and he would get on Skype with other people that were into child porn, and they would narrate what the images that he got and was showing to them over Skype. So it's pretty twisted.
I mean, that sounds pretty twisted. I don't know how that is the same thing. I would think if you're into child porn and you go blind, that's God telling you, wait until you get to heaven to look at this. You know, wait for heaven, not on earth. Wait till you die and you come to heaven where you can do whatever you want. That's a fact, right, Aaron?
That's what I've heard.
You can do anything you want in heaven.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No matter how fucked up. No matter how fucking weird and fucked up it is, you can do it in heaven, right?
As long as you ask for forgiveness, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, once you're in heaven, you don't have to ask for forgiveness anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when you're down here with the plebes looking at having child porn described to you by some wacko. I wouldn't trust the guy describing the child porn to me.
No, you wouldn't trust the guy you found on like blindchildpornhangout.com Reddit board?
I think you need to get two. You need to get two and have them describe it and then make sure their stories add up. Otherwise, what are you touching yourself for?
I think they found, a lot of data. You know, I usually like all your stuff, Anthony, like your dark humor. But when you talk child porn, it's just one step too far for me.
Yeah. You've changed since your conviction. What happened to this guy?
By the way, just a quick aside. Don't send any emails telling me or the show about the one part of Anthony's humor that is too far. I saw a couple of these emails. I don't know. I saw a couple recently. What do you think you're getting out of that? It was very annoying to me.
That sounds like Debbie's work.
No.
Sounds like Debbie's doing.
Sorry, what was your question?
What happened to the guy? What's his punishment?
He's going to jail.
Forever?
I don't remember.
Is there a blind jail? Would they describe to you how much it sucks?
You know, the judge said essentially, look, it wasn't like a huge amount of child porn, I guess, as it relatively goes, but he could go to 10 years of jail.
Is it like a volunteer who describes a child porn? You know, it's like they have people who go to old folks' homes and read to them. Is it like, do you get college credit?
I think so. Like, what would the class be? You know, you know, what class would that qualify to get credit for? Photography, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe art appreciation. I don't know. Oh my God! If this building explodes, we're gonna die hard.
Die Hard?
Yep. That's actually Phantom Thread. What are the things people say are too far for them when the people write an email? Because it's very funny to me that you would complain. Like, I see it on Instagram or TikTok sometimes. They're like, I'm a big fan, but this is too far. It's like, why would you ever think I'd give a fuck?
I know, you've told me that people say that. It was something, I don't remember off the top of my head. It was, I think it was an abortion thing from your special. Now, that was one of them.
I love it. I love it every time.
All right, I'm a bad person.
Give me the music.
I just did.
No, I'm with the last headline music.
Last headline. I want to edit out all the little things. I think it'd be better. It'd be a better listener experience.
You don't edit out anything. Aaron edits it out, and I've already told Aaron leave it in.
I'm a bad person because this next headline made me laugh out loud when I first read it, which is unfortunate because it's about a Texas man who fell to his death after dancing on top of a moving 18-wheeler passing under a bridge.
Okay, he pulled a Styles. He pulled a Styles from Teen Wolf, which I think we all tried. Do you remember we went through a phase? I went through a phase anyway in college where I like to get on top of roofs of cars.
This is not a joke. You really did. Yes.
Once got arrested for it, and then once our friend Sarah Gilley pulled over and screamed at me. And like, I can't believe I didn't die. I did maybe maybe three or four times. Maybe I would just get out for like a second and then get back in the car. But I thought it was like fun. Never did I try to dance. Never did I try to stand up. Maybe hands and knees on the car for a second. And even then, it was like one of the dumbest things I've ever done in my life. The getting up and dancing on a car and falling off. Okay, I still feel bad for you. Tragic. You get hit by the tunnel, bro, that's Naked Gun territory. That is slapstick. That you're Wile E. Coyote if that happens to you. Tell me about this guy.
Yeah, that there's not a lot of details. The most fascinating detail to me is, number one, he was taping the incident.
Of course he was.
Of course he was. So there is video of it, and it's posted online. I didn't watch it. I don't want to watch it. And I don't know if it's still up, but it was posted online. So the news sources watched it.
I wouldn't want to watch the video, but I would enjoy the friends' reactions when they're like, go Dave, go. Oh, that's always fun. Them yelling when something bad happens.
I don't know if, I think he was acting solo. He jumped on a 18-wheeler. The 18-wheeler, the driver was not aware.
How did he jump? Did he jump off of a bridge onto the 18-wheeler? Did he James Bond it?
I think so.
Was it a Die Hard situation or a Phantom Thread situation?
I don't know if it was moving when he got on top of the 18-wheeler. From what I understand, the 18-wheeler driver just didn't know, and he thinks he jumped on. The craziest part is that the man can be seen ducking under one overpass after getting under the overpass, standing up, and continuing to dance. And like the video keeps going, but he didn't know the bridge was coming.
So he's facing the camera. He's facing away from oncoming bridges.
I don't know. I don't know where he's facing. My point is he survived one overpass where he did duck. So if you thought it was comic and Three Stooges, like the fact that he jumps on, he's dancing, he ducks over the the overpass, you know, is totally fine, gets back up, starts dancing again, and then isn't paying enough attention. And then, bam, another one. This one's a bridge comes, and he gets knocked off, and he gets thrown into oncoming traffic, too.
It's vaudeville. I mean, I feel bad for the people in oncoming traffic who had to get hit.
Doesn't seem real.
It seems crazy, but I'm blaming him. I'm blaming the dancer.
Well, yeah, who else are you gonna blame?
I'm team driver on this one. When did the driver find out that this happened? Did he hear, like,
when the guy the guy fell off into the other lane, like, of traffic, and there was, you know, a huge accident. He didn't die immediately upon impact or anything, but they brought him to the hospital, and he died pretty soon after.
What song was he dancing to?
I don't know. Whitney Houston?
Bridge Over Troubled Water? Why Whitney Houston?
I want to dance with somebody? I don't know. You know, he's all by himself.
The fact that he would make that reference because he's by himself and just think Whitney Houston would cover it.
I mean, I just, that's what I heard in my head, that would be funny if that was the song. That
Can't Knock Me Down? Keep On Trucking? The song? Was that a thing?
It's not a song.
I get no sympathy for this guy. I feel bad for the truck driver and whoever hit him when he came down in oncoming traffic. If you were going to get on top of a truck and dance, which I do not recommend, you would think you would plan out the route a little better and know how many bridges and tunnels you got that you got to either duck under or jump. Because if you
it's
duck under
like
one,
he
you
got
to think.
Overconfident, right?
Yeah. How many bridges can there be? That's got to be the only one. And he's filming by himself?
I think so. There wasn't any talk of a friend, but I don't know. There actually wasn't a ton of information on all these stories. I tried to find it. Maybe Chumbawamba. I get knocked down, but I get
up
again.
You drink whiskey drink? You drink a lager drink? You drink a cider drink?
Ain't no one got to be knocked me down. It's like, oh!
I'm glad your brain's always thinking. I'm glad you're always thinking. I would watch this video. I would like to see the video.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't. I don't want to see people die.
This is if you died dancing on top of a truck and you already ducked under a bridge, you knew the bridges existed. You knew about it. I want to know how old he is, but I got to think it's a Darwin situation.
Like, I think it's, I don't know what it's doing to people's brains that they're so often seeing people die, like on social media, for instance.
It's bad.
That's what I mean. I don't want to see it.
I did it once and I didn't like it, but this, seeing someone, you just pretend they didn't die, maybe. Because he didn't die right away. So you're like, oh, it's not a video of him in the hospital.
It's like...
it's okay.
When Takeoff, you know, died, the Migos rapper, like that video of his cousin, and I didn't watch it, but I heard people describing it, like over his like bleeding out body, was like everyone retweeted that, and that's just everywhere.
Yeah, I don't want to see that. I want to see someone die after being shot and they're bleeding out. But it's, if Takeoff had been dancing on a fucking truck and ran into a bridge... Then I want to see it. Show it to me. R.I.P. And now it's time for
Choo Choo
Recommendation Station. Greg.
Okay, so I'm really excited about this. I'm recommending the movie Tar, starring Cate Blanchett.
I've been wanting to see it. It's on demand, but every time I go, it's 2 hours and 45 minutes, and I'm like, ooh, I don't have the time right now.
It is long. It is worth it. It is a slow build and a slow burn, but Cate Blanchett is incredible as a famous classical music composer. That's so believable that like probably many other dumbasses out there that didn't know much about the movie had to Google to see if she was even real. You know, she's not real, but it's just such a, like, they just put her in this world in such a realistic way. That you think at first, like, is this kind of based on someone? And it's very hard to describe, but, you know, it starts in New York, and she has a book coming out. She's a famous composer that has a professorship in Germany, and then most of the movie ends up taking place in Germany, in Berlin. And she basically has a career and, I would say, life crisis while she's just, you know, at the total top of her profession. And I could go into more, but I don't need to. I would just give it a hard recommend, even if it's long and there's, you know, parts of it, I guess, that maybe like the plot isn't being totally propulsive, but it gets there in the end. In the last hour of the movie, to me, it is incredible. And you can't kind of see it coming. And the ending is very controversial, too. I'll be curious to hear your take on it.
Okay, yeah, you sold me because I wanted to see it, but it's like one of those, it's like, it seems like a prestige picture that I'm like, some of those aren't that fun.
It's I think it's more fun than you would expect.
Sure.
She is having fun. That is for goddamn sure. Yeah. It is a kind of, I wouldn't say an evil character, but it's definitely a character where you could look at it like from a few different ways. She does not see her own like weaknesses.
Great. I would, everything sounded good before, but this puts me over the edge. I will see it by the time we have dinner Saturday.
Wow.
Maybe even, you know what tomorrow night I have the night off. I will watch it while Liz is at work. My recommendation this week. And again, I got a shout out to the people who send me books, like before they come out, in stores. I always love it. A lot of times it's something that I have to like go and cancel the book that I have ordered because I'm so excited to get it. And people who send me books that aren't coming out anytime soon, they're just like, I think Anthony would like this. I appreciate that. I will try to give you more specific shout outs before the end of the year. But this one was a book I got the week before it came out. Do you remember a couple years ago I recommended Little Lies by Samantha Schweblin? And this is a book of short stories that she'd written previously and just got translated into English. Just won the Booker Prize, National Book Award, won one of those big awards, Seven Empty Houses by Samantha Schweblin. Great short stories, quick read, excellent writer. If you liked Little Lies, and I think a lot of our listeners really responded to Little Lies when I recommended that, check out Seven Empty Houses. You will not be disappointed. A great, great book. Again, that's Seven Empty Houses by Samantha Schweblin, S-C-H-W-E-B-L-I-N. Get it in stores. Give it to someone you love. Walker, get us out of here.
Whoa, Nelly Furtado, that's a spicy meatball.